You know what? No matter what, the music in the background gonna get you going, man.
Always,
every time. No matter what, whoever made that track, shout out to you. What? chat. This one was on me. I'm gonna put it on me, and we gonna move forward.
Oh my goodness, but it better be
accountability.
Because guess what? We got a $50 big boy and dropped it off in the chat for us, man. Come on with it.
Wow. Yeah, hey, John, we got to be late more. This is crazy work. Listen, we got to show that one. Hold on, wait a minute. We're going to show that early.
Oh, but I got 50 of them. You know,
we got a 50 before episode 50. Crazy work. Crazy work. Now, shout out to Tom's Takes. This is episode 36. He's right. Mm-hmm. Who was the 36, guys? Who was 36?
Bus.
Tony Pollard. Bus. Tony Pollard before. He switched to 20. Was he 136 when Jerry Jones said Zeke, he was 36, right? Am I right?
That's good. Yeah.
Episode preseason Tony Pollard, what you saying?
Right. You talking about a deep dive. Yeah. That was good.
Well, I got one for you, Foots. This in your area. Episode Rest in Peace, Sean Taylor. He wore 36.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Didn't he wear 36?
Rest in peace.
I think it's 26.
26.
Oh, it was 26.
No. His rookie year, he was 36.
Okay.
I believe. Now, I'm pretty sure Chad will correct us if we're wrong, but
yes.
And hey, the guru, that opening beat is fire. Yeah. And, you know, listen, what's his name? Brian Schottenheimer is rubbing off on me. Accountability. We had a little bit of technical difficulties, but you guys are here and we're ready to go. And as always, we are going to start off with John Machota. We have a great show for you guys today. It's going to be a little, not even back and forth, but just our high level thoughts here, very high level. But as always, we're going to start off with John Machota. What's going on in Cowboys world? Maybe not a lot, but we'll talk about it.
I would say the biggest thing is probably just that there's going to be more Hard Knocks for the Dallas Cowboys. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. We'll find out. I certainly think that Brian Schottenheimer has a chance to be the star of that, but it won't be just on the Cowboys. It's the entire NFC East. So, that should be interesting. A lot of good content should probably come out of that. So, good or bad, if the team's rolling or not, that will be interesting. And then there's still that Jerry Jones documentary that's going to come out that Netflix has been shooting the last 2 years. So that probably comes out sometime this summer too. So, a lot of Cowboys behind the scenes stuff. So, should be good.
There's going to be some cameos of you in that, I guarantee, huh?
Hey, I'll take it. We only had availability on Tuesday, and then we don't have it again until next Thursday. So they still are practicing, but media is not allowed to watch other than one day per week until minicamp, and then minicamp week, we're out there all 3 days. So,
quick question, John. All or Nothing or Hard Knocks, which one was better?
I think All or Nothing might have been.
All or Nothing. They had Jason Garrett cussing left and right, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
The first
reason I'm thinking is because the last time that they were on one of those, I just know how much was edited out and it wasn't even good, you know?
That's what I'm saying. Hard Knocks was not the group.
Yeah. Because I'm thinking of the one where Dak hurts his shoulder early in camp.
Yeah.
And he had some good back and forths in there. And that was very early in the series. And I was like, oh, it's going to be good. And it sucked the rest of the way. So clearly they gave up too much and they wanted to show in that. And so because of that, they really dialed things back and you didn't get a lot of the good storylines. So I probably lean a little bit to All or Nothing. But any of them are great. I mean, all the behind the scenes stuff's great to get that. It gets kind of redundant. I mean, I don't think Hard Knocks is as good now as it used to be.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the same storylines is just different teams, you know, that they do it with. So it could be interesting with the Cowboys. My thing is I care about star players. I don't really care about the last guy that's not going to make the roster that they, you know, they go to the hotel room with them and that. I don't really care about that stuff that much. So that's a lot of Hard Knocks where if they can get like my thing is the quarterback and wide receiver thing that they've done recently on Netflix. Like that stuff's great.
That wide receiver thing was dope. Yeah.
I can tell you the difference. Like Netflix, I put Netflix up against anything. Like they, I'm not saying they don't have their misses, but the reason they hit so much is because they're paying big money. You know, this isn't just, oh, hey, do you want to volunteer?
Production's amazing.
They pay big money. That's why they're going to give you all the access that they do. But yeah, that's wide receiver one they just had, and the quarterback one before that. Those are the best behind the scenes stuff that I've seen.
Yeah, I think production for the quarterback was amazing, John. Like you said, I will say this: I did watch the NFC AFC North one. It's good. Like there's intrigue. I just wonder how much they'll show. And now I will say, people say, well, I don't want cameras around the Cowboys, but they'll have it around all the teams. So, you know, you can't use the distraction thing. And that's what the NFL is now. Like they want to have people behind the curtains. And selfishly, because the Cowboys, I'm looking at some of the other media teams like the Panthers. They do little series like leading up to the draft. During the draft, we don't do any of that. Wow. Things closed door, so I think it's pretty cool.
No doubt.
Yeah, y'all got anything else on it?
Yeah, I'm not a big Hard Knocks all in, but it is cool to get the behind the scenes stuff. Maybe we'll get some of the losses where we didn't get from Sounds of the Sideline. Maybe we'll get those now with the Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I'm interested in.
I'm interested in more stuff like that. Like, it doesn't have to be a lot. It just like that. I think that's pretty cool. Me personally, you know, we know that this fan base, well, this front office, I don't know, they want to keep things close to the curtain. Okay, so we got a few things planned. I wanted to start it off with this. I don't know if you guys saw Pro Football Focus, but they wrote an article or a blurb. Mike Florio, he's good at clickbaiting. Kyer Elam, the energy is different. I think that was the headline, and he's one of our free agents that we signed. And you know, for him to say that he didn't, I guess it was either the energy is different or he didn't have any energy like this in Buffalo.
Okay.
Right.
Whatever. But I wanted to ask you guys where we are right now with all of the free agents that we brought in. We feel good, but now what do we need? Right. And it's very early, but let's set the table. John has said corner at times. I feel defensive tackle. So like if you had to take three, I'll give the whole panel three. How would you rank them? And I'll start. For me, I'm going to go defensive tackle. I would probably go corner, then the runner. And my reasoning is this. If Mazi could take the step that we all want, year three, you know, you feel like he's got the peanut butter and he's a bigger athlete and he knows how to play the point of attack. I still want big bodies in there, and I still want to make sure that that's not our Achilles heel. I did some research, guys, and every playoff game that we've lost, we've been outrushed dramatically. Like, I don't even want to pull up the numbers, but it's been just a joke of how teams were able to run the ball, knew they were going to run the ball, and you couldn't stop it. You just had to die by a thousand cuts over and over and over again. And I remember the Packers year, right? The Bills exploited us, and then it was just, that was it. And so, not to be long-winded, but defensive tackle for me, I would still be looking at defensive tackle. Corner, just because, yeah, Kyer Elam, you're saying that the energy is great, but can you play? We'll find out real quick, because you'll be going up against CeeDee Lamb, who wasn't at camp last year, and George Pickens on the outside. So can you play? Energy might be different, but if you're sorry, the energy going to change quick because we need to know. And then running back. And the name for me would be a guy like J.K. Dobbins. I think that everybody has attached themselves to Nick Chubb. I'm more of a J.K. Dobbins guy. Sky, you give me your rankings.
Same, right? I don't know how it's not universally defensive tackle number one. I mean, just look in the room. I don't think there's a guy, a proven guy. And we're talking nose tackle, right? We're mostly talking
but one tech, yeah,
the one tech, right? Yeah, three tech, you got also Digizua, obviously, but you don't have a proven dude that you can count on. We could say Mazi has played a lot of snaps, but you can't count on Mazi right now. You hope. And I don't like to live in the hope creed. I like to live in the wish creed. We worship wood. That's where I like to be at, not hope. You know, and we're hoping right now with Mazi Smith, and we're hoping with Jay Toia. Go get me a veteran defensive tackle, not just any veteran. I would swing a trade because I don't think anybody in free agency is there. But yeah, I don't know if they're going to give up any more assets where they're at right now. But yeah, you said it. You get into the playoffs. The Cowboys can't stop the run. A lot of that has to do with being light in the butt up front, not having a dude, and they need that. It's the most obvious blinking red light right now. It was one of the most obvious during the draft. Honestly, I actually had it higher than the right guard, but I understand the right guard was higher on the board. That makes complete sense. Then corner because of the injuries and running back because the room is just, it has somebody in there in regards to Javonte Williams and Miles Sanders who have been the guy. But again, 1 year deals, veterans trying to make comebacks, not a lot of trustworthiness in there as well. But DT is the super obvious blinking red light to me.
Yeah. John?
Yeah. So for me, it's corner is one. And the reason I say that is because when I think of DT, I do include Osa and Solomon Thomas, and I think they'll be fine. And in the run stopper part of it, if Mozzie or Jay Toy aren't getting it done, then I think it's much more realistic that you can find a veteran big body to plug in there like they did with Marinelli and Eberflus back when they had the Antoine Woodses and the Golden Cock, and they had who was the other guy that they had at that time?
Terrell McLean was one of the guys.
McLean was in there, and then so was
Henry Melton.
Came over from the Bears. Yeah, Henry Melton. I think you can find those guys. Right. I don't know that you can find. And the Golden Cock is Nick Hayden, by the way, for anybody that didn't follow the team back then. If you're new,
yeah.
Rod Marinelli loved to call him that all the time. So if you weren't following the team then, it was kind of a thing at that time. So anyway, yeah. Whereas starting corner, good luck finding a starting corner and late, like right before the season starts. I just think like, even if you wait that long for like a Stephon Gilmore, I think he'll get picked up by somebody else. And so if they weren't injured, I wouldn't even be talking corner. They wouldn't even be in my top five, but the injuries that did, right. And then not knowing exactly what Revel will be just because he's coming back from the injury. I think once he's back, he'll be fine once he gets his feet on the ground and he's got, you know, some confidence in that, but when will that be, you know? And then if it's not them, then it's Kalen Carson, Kyrie Elam. You know, you might have to lean on Andrew Booth if you don't do something there. So that's why I have corner one. D-tackle. Well,
let me challenge you, John. Mm. Yeah. So you're saying you're concluding.
I love a good challenge.
Yeah.
Including Olsen. If you don't include it, let's say instead of defense tackle, nose tackle or one tech, is would that rank higher than your cornerback need if you're eliminating? Because think about Solomon Thomas. We'll talk about him in a second. He's light as hell. It's really hard to consider him a real defensive tackle anyway.
Sure, but if you were looking for a defensive tackle that like a three tech that's with pass rush, I think I would have that number one because I think that's super hard to find. A run stopping one tech, I really do not have any issue that Eberflus is going to fix that. I really don't. I think there's a lot of PTSD.
You've been consistent about that, John.
I think there's a lot of PTSD from the way Dan Quinn's defenses went. And I think that people think that that's just how it's going to be. And that will not be the case. Matt Eberflus will fix the run defense. That's why I'm not concerned there. The corners worry me because, well, one, you know, yeah, obviously the Cowboys have good wide receivers, but the division has good receivers. And if you don't have three solid corners, you can get exposed. I mean, it's such an important position. You know, that's why I don't really care about getting a high dollar defensive tackle like I would care about having high dollar corners. That's just me with the way that the game is played now that I'm, if Eberflus can't stop the run, then yeah, I'll definitely say I was wrong, but I just don't. I think he's going to be able to do that. I think he's going to find ways to do it. His track record speaks for it. I think that Dan Quinn wanted to do things a little bit differently where it led to the turnovers. I'm not knocking Dan. I mean, he had a lot of success. But I think that run defense will be better.
Let me just add into this, and I'm agreeing with John on the DB side of it because.
Hey, before you go, Law, I didn't mean to catch you. But John. Yeah. Where running back and corner for you? Or so you got corner.
Corner's one.
What else?
Tackle, then running back. And then I think those are the clear top three. And then the other two that would kind of round out the top five for me would be safety and then the offensive line. And it's like for different reasons. The offensive line, because you're kind of young and unproven. Safety is just because it's just they have guys. Yeah. Like they'll have plenty of guys to be out there on the field. but they don't have anything that's like changing the game for you. Where you're like,
hey, guy, you.
Yeah, they don't have any. Yeah. So they're guys, but they're not like anybody that you're just like, oh, no, our safeties can make some big plays and they'll just win these games. Like, I don't look at them like that, but also I don't think the Cowboys do. Their investments
speak for themselves. No,
you're good.
Their investments speak for it on D tackle too, you know?
Yeah.
The one on Mozzie, but other than that, that's one on Mozzie, and that's 1-1 since Russell Maryland. So
But you know what? The reason why I agree with John with the DB aspect, because we are hurt foot away from Bland being hurt or something like that, and we're seeing Booth and Kyrie Elam again. So we don't want that. And I think that the Cowboys still gotta wait for Josh Butler to come back. I like Troy Pride's potential's upside, but at the end of the day, he was on practice squad duty. So when you look at defensive tackles in general, you mentioned Matt Eberflus, but I think that was a golden steal for us is getting White Cotton. I think that White Cotton is going to be able. Yeah, he's going to be able to get the schemed up a whole lot better. And when teams start cutting for those teams that did drafted a one tech and they realized that they got a veteran guy to get released, there's going to be somebody to get cut. I think that White Cotton can, you know, pick up the phone and maybe bring those guys in. But the first and foremost would be defensive back because of the fact we raised the blade thin in that category. And far as the third need would be the running back as well. You know, I get it. We leaning on the hopes of what Sky is saying. We hoping that Javonte Williams can hit the hole and see hole and get there. And we hoping that at 4.25 speed Jaden Blue exhibits can be something that we can see. But those are all hopes and not promises of real tangible things.
If you look at Flus's history in Indianapolis, where he was as defensive coordinator, strictly defensive coordinator, he brought in two legitimate defensive tackles. He traded for Arik Armstead, who can masquerade as a one, but it was mostly a dominant three, but he's a big dude, right? And we forget Grover Stewart is a guy over there. You know what I'm saying? So if you go look historically in Indianapolis, he was a good run defensive coach. In Chicago, not so much. He had a year where he was good, but other than that, it was a poor run defense. And if you look at what they have up front, it wasn't the greatest up front. They did have some decent linebackers, but I would love to trust White Cotton and Eberflus in that sense. But at the end of the day, you do need some guys.
You do.
Right? You do need some guys. And I like the young man, Jay Toia, but he is a rookie, and rookie seventh round picks take some time. Mozzie, I just don't know. Mm. I think if it's about the health situation for corner, it is scary. Like, I'm not going to lie, scary right now, because John reported and others reported Andrew Booth was starting. You know what I mean? And if that's going to be the case, I'm running right now to go get me a corner. Hell, Gilly's out there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, Gilmore is out there to get. So there's guys out there. Asante Samuel Jr. So I hear what you're saying, John. It's easier to find that kind of big, fat one tech that'll probably cost you nothing, the seventh, sixth round pick. But shoot, there's a couple dudes out there right now. I'd go pick up the phone and bring them in just for insurance because of the injuries.
Yeah, it could be one of those things where it's a kind of a handshake deal where it's like, hey, you know, like kind of like with Dalvin Cook. Not that I know that this is for a fact, so I'm not reporting anything, but it's like a lot of these things just seem like, hey, man, I'm a veteran. I don't need to go through OTAs and mini camp. Let me know when training camp starts. I'll be out there, or let me know like late in training camp. Yeah. My God, I mean, the biggest one that we're thinking of right now is that it just doesn't make sense. If you're Aaron Rodgers, why aren't you with the team right now? You're a starting quarterback. Like, so, and you know he's going to be on a team. And so
he's going to be in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. So that could be one of those things where
I think. Not to cut you off, John, but I think with Eberflus, right, Sky?
Mm-hmm.
I did some research, and when Andrew Billings got hurt, the defense didn't stop the run well last year. But before
they were awful last year.
Yeah.
Not the whole year.
Just in general. Like, I mean, Billings get hurt, that's a problem. If one guy
I'm with you, but if you actually go watch that Commanders game, they bottled Washington up and they had the number one offense until the Hail Mary. So I get what you're saying.
It was a great run team though, but
not what they
don't have a Parsons
when they were pulling that mesh point with JD, they ran the ball. But no, you're right, with Brian Robinson and it was just it was sporadic.
Hurt, not the same guy yet. But anyway, point taken. The buildings went down. It got worse.
It got worse. Yes. So I think that I say this. I think that you do need another body in here, but I think what's going to probably happen is they're probably going to go to camp and look at it, which I don't know if that's the right or the wrong way. I just think that that'll be the way. Now, the truth is coaching, we've said it on offense. Matter. Now we got to say it on defense. Coaching does matter, guys. Right. Like, right. I do think that as far as discipline and philosophy wise, I do think that Matt Eberflus is a better defensive coordinator than Dan Quinn. I think that Dan Quinn is a high risk, high reward defense. Like that's how he coaches defense. Like, could we live in a world with Trayvon Diggs getting 9 picks? We saw what happened when the picks went away. It started looking weird. When you're not getting interceptions. So, and I'm not saying that Dan Quinn is a bad defensive coordinator, but it's high risk, high reward. It's energy. It's, you know, run to the ball. It's get upfield, go get sacks. But the flip side of that is when you and you, Sky, you the OC, I call Skywalker still the offensive coordinator. He knows every offensive coordinator in the league. When you start dealing with a guy like Matt Eberflus, like Matt LaFleur, let's think about it. What did Jordan Love come out and say in that playoff game? Yeah. Oh, we knew we could run the ball. We knew exactly how they were going to play it. We knew that they were going to keep Michael on one side. They're going to keep one safety in the middle of the field. They're just going to play their stuff. And I think that Eberflus, to John's point, is a little bit more multiple.
Yeah.
That being, I feel like I'm talking out of both sides of my neck. That being said, Mozzie may not be enough. Like, just Mozzie alone and the prayer and J2, I'm going to mess that up. May not be enough.
He said
Toya's fine. Okay, we're going with Toya, John. I mean, hey, Scott, do you have a name? Do you have a name for us?
Dan Quinn's defense took John's Detroit Lions and had 5 turnovers on the road and sent them to the NFC Championship game. So I don't know, bro. I don't know how to explain the difference between 23 and that team, because that Washington team's defense wasn't amazing, but they shut that offense down.
So. They
wait, what offense?
The Detroit Lions.
They did not shut down the Detroit Lions offense.
Oh, five turnovers is
the five turnovers good. For sure.
That's a high risk, high reward. Yeah.
I can tell you this right now. The biggest reason that Detroit lost that game, obviously their defense was decimated by injuries to no level. But this is the problem with the whole Ben Johnson thing. Like, okay, when you're in your defense like that, you have to play complimentary football.
Yeah, he got that red zone, and he got
to do trick plays.
That was so dumb. Jameson
Williams, 70 yard touchdowns. Like, I want to play. No, you need 10 play drives. They keep Jane Daniels on the sideline.
Yeah,
well, that's why everybody's so excited about what Ben Johnson's going to do in Chicago. And don't get me wrong, he's going to put up a lot of points. But like, just seeing him yesterday talk about the tush push, was like, I don't care about tush pushes and stuff like that. I'm trying to get big plays and all that. Well, like, the tush push thing kind of does win the rings and that silver trophy. So, I mean, it might be something that you want to incorporate a little bit. Then you don't get a trophy for scoring 45 a game. You get a trophy for beating all the teams, including in January, where styles make fights and you have to change up the style sometimes to try and compliment. You're not just going to be able to, oh, we'll put 45 on everybody. No, sometimes you need to go ahead and just chill out and have like a 10-play drive and help your defense out, not just go down there and score on them right away. Yeah. Like,
John, you're right on the money.
You think the Cowboys would have got 5 turnovers in that game?
I don't think it's about his turnovers, Scott.
They haven't had 5 turnovers in 7 playoff games combined. Yeah,
yeah. Hey, but still, he got to the goal line and gave the ball to Montgomery, and Gibbs was averaging 7 yards a carry. He got cute. I remember that.
No credit at all to that defense.
No. To Washington? Wow. Bro, they got 50 put.
Yeah, that
they got 50 put on the head.
Turnovers.
That defense.
Okay. Scott, they got 50 put on their head. Still, they got 50 put on their head against Philly. That's not a good defense.
In the playoff. I'm not saying that's a good defense. I said his defense in the playoffs got 5 turnovers.
I'm with you, Sky, but
he got 5 turnovers. You'd be sitting here saying the Cowboys' defense is the greatest of all time. Don't do that.
Not the greatest of all time. I'd be saying they play good.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead,
I'll be honest with you. One of the reasons why I wouldn't say they were the greatest if that happened is because I saw a lot of turnovers.
No, not you, John. Not you. Oh, Foots.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you get on me.
I know Foots, bro. If we got 5 turnovers in the playoffs, bro, he would never let anybody live that down.
in two back-to-back seasons when they led the entire league. And in no time did I go, yeah, Cowboys got one of the best defenses in the league. You were like,
no,
okay, the turnovers.
No, but let me fight. Hey, John, tag me in.
Let me
fight Scott, though. Because Scott, still.
Bike.
Go ahead. I'm going to let you go. The conversation is I watched a Dan Quinn-led defense in Washington with a lesser roster get five turnovers against one of the best offenses. When has the Cowboys defense done that under any coordinator?
But we had Dan Quinn and he didn't do
any coordinator.
Just feast of famine with Dan Quinn. So,
and that's why I said a very high opportunity, but it gets crazy. Here's what I'm saying. John could tell you, Scott, I've been banging this point home about Ben because I was really watching him. And John, what didn't I say? Ben got cute in that playoff game. That's not, you're right though, still. He definitely did get the turnovers. He did. But you run a reverse pass or whatever you try to do and it gets picked. You do some of that stuff. He coached right into Dan Quinn's hands. Like, and I'll be honest with you. I'm just being real. If Baker Mayfield doesn't fumble that ball on that snap against Washington, they don't even get there. Yeah. So, I'm talking out of both sides of my neck. I'm playing defense here. I'm being a great host, okay? Still, leave me alone still, because you know what? They did get five turnovers, and they deserve credit. And by the way, one of the players who caused the turnover is on the Cowboys defense right now. So,
Fowler. Is Dante who you talking about?
Fowler. Yeah. Remember he had that strip on. But you know that play call, Scott Law, was crazy to me. They're moving the ball, and he literally. Okay, I'm sorry, Scott. I'm sorry.
But to that point.
I love this show.
In 2022, we lost to the 49ers by less than 1 point, right? It was like what? Less than a touchdown. When you go back and watch that game.
1912. Right? Was it 1912?
I mean, one of the balls literally hit Bland in the hand and he dropped it, right? That could have changed the course of the game. And I think that Trayvon Diggs, it was a legal player down the field. And that, if we make those plays, we get those turnovers, I think we win that game. Of course, I know somebody going to say, well, Dak threw two interceptions. But if we make those plays on defense, we win.
You're talking about 2022 at AT&T Stadium?
No, the one
we were talking about the one in San Francisco.
On the road, yeah.
On San Francisco. Yeah,
I still go back to that one in San Francisco that if it's a – I'm not saying they would have won, but that's a different game if Pollard doesn't get hurt.
I agree.
Yes, sir.
You can tell, man, when he got hurt, not just the play in the field, but it just totally – And I want to say if somebody has even said that recently, like how it just took the wind out of the team when they God, somebody did say that recently. I can't remember who it was. It was somebody on that team.
Well, Pollard just had so much juice. Yeah, it was obvious.
And they didn't have a lot of weapons. So it was like, okay, was they got CD and Pollard.
Gallup was entering. He was going down. Now I'm going to tell y'all something. 21 is the one, Sky, where if you remember, San Fran went right down the field and scored. On 21. Right. I was at that game.
Opening possession.
And then they went up 10 and they just sat on the ball. Like they just took the air out of the ball all game. And you remember the law? Like we just couldn't get stops. And we did get a few stops.
Anthony Brown caught an interception.
He got that pick, but it was like we going down. So
because old boy had a couple field goals.
If you remember, Scott, it was how they came out and punched us. Because I'll never forget that was Micah's rookie year.
You're right. It was like 16-3 or wasn't it 16-3?
It was an ugly game. I'll never forget Brandon Ayuk cracked back in Micah. And that's when they were fighting but they ended up scoring and Micah and Ayuk were in each other's face. And I'm like, Micah. He was a younger player at that point.
Sanders end around where they jump tackles and score touchdown.
That was more or less that was kind of like Quinn like bro on this opening drive can we get a stop and I get it. So I think for me the overarching thing is I think I kind of do got to side with Scott. I'm doing whatever I can to make sure when a team wants to run the ball they can't because when we've gotten big games. I would rather get beat on big passing. Like, I put it to you like this, John. If a team can kill you with a
push for,
well, I would rather get beat on big passes and get
sacks. You might see that.
But, John, let me ask you this, though. John, every time a team has told us they're going to line up and punch on us, they've done it running the ball.
Exactly.
Have you seen that hurts. White Cotton is not going to allow that. White Cotton is not going to allow that, nor Eberflus.
But law. When a team can tell us they're going to run it down our throat and they do it, that's a tough way to lose
you
a football game.
You don't have a way to stop. Do you know how light in the ass your defensive line is? Why would anybody go into the playoffs and say, we are going to lean into the strengths of what you do, and that's your pass rush? When you have dudes who weigh 256 pounds playing defensive tackle in Solomon Thomas, right? So I say this, and I hate this because we often do this a lot where we have to pick either or, because the Cowboys can easily go fix both of these damn positions.
Right.
But if I'm getting to the playoffs, I'm thinking of playoff football here. If I'm getting to the playoffs, I need a way to stop the run, because if a team wants to pass, I got Micah Parsons, Dante Fowler, health permitting, Sam Williams, Solomon Thomas can go out there and rush the passer. The young buck Donovan is. I got rushers to do that. Yep. Right. I don't have people to stop the run, whether that be on the interior, and we'll see about the linebackers. I do like Sanborn, but we've seen it over and over again. And John's right. It's under Dan Quinn, but just look around the league, not just Dan Quinn. Mm. Look around the league when teams get to the playoffs, they are a more balanced team. They're a team that, like you talked about, hey man, this Ben Johnson, he wants to get cute and stuff. No, they're trying not to get cute. They're trying to be balanced. They're trying to sit on the rock and et cetera, et cetera. And when you go line up and you play the Cowboys and you see that front seven, I don't give a damn who your defensive coordinator is. At the end of the day, it's mass on mass. It's big bodies on big bodies. And if I can move you out the way, I don't care what your scheme is, because if you want to put nine people in the box, pow, right over the top. You need to get better up front, man.
So who are you putting Andrew Booth on against, let's say, Washington?
But John, Andrew Booth ain't going to be playing. Stop it.
John going to the extreme. Week one, AJ Brown going to be like,
if Andrew
John Booth is playing, crazy work.
I'm praying. That's all I'm saying. I'm praying if Andrew Booth plays.
You better get to
also,
the
also, if you watch, if you, I always say this, but it's so the truth. If you watch the entire NFL, every single team is in that situation. Like, no team has five good corners. Every team is one major corner injury away from having a guy out there that the fans are just like, you got to be kidding me. What are we doing here? So,
yeah, you're right. But let me ask you this.
Good corners,
let me ask you this, because a name that I brought up too, I think you guys are saying, you know, Asante Samuel. You know the name that I looked at today, John? Mike Hilton.
He's still out there.
He is. And like, so Mike Hilton is it too. Yeah, but so here's my thing because I'm just looking for a guy who's reliable, may get beat, but he'll come up and tackle. Hilton will tackle. My thing with Asante Samuel, he doesn't like to tackle. He is good though. Yeah. He is good. And that neck deal, they'll probably say. So I think it'll be between him, John, and what you're saying with who's the guy that was just in there? Gilly. It'll be between him and possibly Gilly.
Why do you think it'll be Hilton doesn't fit the
because
size.
I think he fits the scheme. Still,
he doesn't fit the size though.
But the thing is, Eberflus will play with a Jalen Johnson who's not a bigger corner if you're going to do your job.
Jalen Johnson's not 5'10".
How tall is Jalen Johnson?
I believe he's about 6 foot or so.
I thought Jalen was like 5'11".
You don't want to draft Asante Samuel Jr. You got to get the size so you get Kelvin Joseph.
John is on a roll.
Which isn't lost on me when you go back to talk about Washington. Like that Mikey Sanders still is
a good player.
Good, and he's not a big corner.
You know what happened, John? And Scott, I'll tell you this. I had a feeling Kelvin wasn't gonna hit. I said that when we drafted.
A lot of people were nervous about
that.
You know what we need, guys? Need Diggs to come back and be good, man. Yeah. Like, you paid Diggs to be good, and you know, he's doing his documentary now. I watched it and You need Trevon Diggs to at some point, Law, play good football again, or we are in the predicament that John's talking about, where it's like you're hoping a rookie can play well, you're hoping Bland stays healthy. Because I mean, to now I'm back on both sides of the fence. Right. Hey man, Bland stepped wrong, Sky, and was out middle of the season. Just a random play. You like, whoa, Bland, you didn't even touch, and foot shattered. So you just like. It's tough. And then maybe Josh Butler, maybe it was freakish, Sky, but it's happened, you know, like
we had to go through trials and error before we got Josh Butler. And we're like, Josh Butler can hit, but then he got hurt.
I got something for y'all. health permitting is what it sounds like for the cornerback position, right?
Yeah. Right.
I don't give a damn about the health at defensive tackle. They could be the healthiest group on the team. It's still an issue. Right. You understand? So, yeah. Like, if the Cowboys get healthy, you at corner, I think you feel much better about that position, probably than a lot of other positions on this team.
Yeah, for me, it's that I don't care. I'm not, like I already said, the three tech, I'm fine with. It's just that one tech, defensive tackle. So that's like you two guys that you're out there. Yeah. I'm more concerned about the three corners that have to be out there almost all the time, yeah. And you might only have one really good one. That's the only reason why I'm more concerned, because the numbers game. If it was 1990 and you really were playing with two corners, I would be like, they're fine, you know. But, but it's just like you really do need three good corners. I mean, and hey, they were set up for it. I mean, they should have had it last year, to be honest with you, with Jordan Lewis and before Diggs got hurt. I mean, they were set up to have the ideal situation, but then the injuries happened. And if the corners were coming back from like ankles and stuff like that, it'd be different, you know, or a broken arm or something. But it's those knees are that the part where I'm just like, the odds that both are at the top of their game right out at, you know, whenever they come back. I mean, it could happen, but it seems like it's asking a lot. So
for a legitimate one tech, I think you got to trade for that. I don't think you can find one on the on just landing the street. What's Roquan Davis? That's the only one that I can see. I'm looking at the chart. I just don't really see any one techs that's available.
Free agency is not great. You'd have to go spend some draft capital. Yeah.
I think
to be honest, that's exactly what the Eagles would do in this situation.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think that you have they to would not leave a break glass.
Those spots. No. They would go fill it with something.
They would have done it already, though.
Hold on. Time out. Is it a massive hole, John?
To them, it's not. I think it is more to us than it is to them. They've shown their cards. To them, it's not.
I think receiver was the massive hole, and they addressed it.
And they knew that, and so that's why they went and got Pickens. They would have done that. They would have done more than Jay Toya at one tech if they thought it was as big of an issue that we do.
Keep in mind,
I'm arguing for corner.
Yeah.
One tech is number two for me. It's not like I'm like, that's 15 on my list. No, it's number two. It's right there. I'm just saying that corner is just,
we have a more surplus at wide receivers than we do have at any other spot. But the surplus is like options 4 and 5, right? Yeah. Package these guys together and get us a legitimate one tech or something like that. Because we drafted Ron Flo. We drafted Jalen Brooks, but these guys, I'm not even considering them being on the field now. Can we get something back in return and get a one tech or a DB?
Yeah.
Possibly.
Because you still got to get Kavante. It's only one football. You got Turpin, Mingo. You got.
they did that one move when they traded Tarvarius Ward for Ellen or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that right before the season started?
Yeah, and the dude didn't even play a snap for the Cowboys.
What's that?
He didn't play a snap. Parker didn't play a snap.
He didn't, and Ward ended up being really good. And Ward was good for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Just that they were good at corner, and so they were like, all right, we can part with this guy, and yeah, that didn't work out well.
Who's the defensive tackle we signed last year from the Bills, or he was with the Bills?
Phillips.
Jordan Phillips.
Yeah. The other one, not the other one.
Linville Joseph.
See, I'll be honest.
39 or something.
He's an older guy, but I think with what you've done on defense in the draft and at end, I think that type of name might be just enough. I mean, I know Sky's face is scrunched up, but I know Sky, but it's Sky. Sky's been banging this. This is kind of how I felt about receiver. So I'm with you still, but I think that. Like, unless you go, man. I'm trying to think of what roster. Well, maybe that's some research we need to think about, and like what roster has a surplus of D tackles that maybe haven't worked out. I'll tell you the name.
DJ Reader.
Come on, DJ Reader. Come on, let's get him.
Go throw something at DJ Reader, bro. He got 1 year left on his deal. They say
he's in Seattle.
No, he's in Detroit. They don't have. Yeah. Okay.
They save $7 million if they move off, and whether it's a cut, a trade probably be a little bit different. They drafted a defensive tackle in the first round. They signed a guy worth $4 million in free agency.
Sky ready.
Have, They have my man from North Carolina State.
Yeah, but the problem is that he's coming back from major knee. Right.
So he's hurt. But shoot, even the Auburn kid, the backup is a pretty solid three tech. That I think he's from Auburn at least. Is it Azaruke? Is that his last? Defensive tackles. Their best one is hurt. But I mean, I don't know. John would know more than I do, being from there, probably still follows a bit. Detroit saving a couple dollars, throw them some draft capital, maybe some day three picks or whatever, maybe a player, and you get big fella DJ Reader here. He's been historically a good run stopping nose tackle that knows how to play the run. I would 100% pick up the phone and try to get him.
Give Detroit Jalen Brooks and Miles Sanders.
They're not taking Miles Sanders. Maybe Brooks. Hey, I'm gonna tell you though, the name would have been Jonathan Allen.
And more three type, but yeah.
He could play the one though. He's the one who could play that one. They drafted the kid from Illinois last year. Yeah, so I'm interested to see, and Jonathan Allen just doesn't fit what Dan Quinn wants to do. And so that's the I feel like Allen is more play at the line of scrimmage. He used to get upfield better, but it's not really the same. But
I hate to play devil's advocate.
I don't think he's with them anymore. Really?
You know, he's went to the Vikings. When I did the last two seasons, and I know this sounds like a stretch a little bit, but Solomon Thomas numbers equaling Jonathan Allen's in the last two seasons. You know,
let's talk the scheme of it. Is he stout enough? I think that's Sky's thing. That's the deal, because I get it. No, so Law, you're right. Solomon Thomas, bro, I remember him coming out of North Carolina. He was that drill. But the problem is Stanford, I'm all over the place.
It's the colors.
I'm sorry, y'all. Chad, these names, I'm sorry. He was at Stanford, red and white. Yes. Yeah. And he was a high draft pick that he didn't live up, but he's been good.
Thought you said that last state, my bad.
So the thing is, I think Sky's deal is because just like we want a double team, teams in the league want a double team too.
Right.
And they want to try to get vertical movement and run duo. There's no secrets. And so at the end of the day, can Solomon Thomas consistently eat up a double to where?
Nah, he not consistent.
And that's what I'm saying. So he does have those numbers, Law, but I think what it is on first and second down, who's going to stop them turn a 5 or 6 yard run to a 3 yard run so we can get to 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7? And that's what we got to find out, because we know Mike ain't stopping no run. We know Donovan, he ain't stopping no run.
No.
We know you're praying that Marshawn Neely can stop the run, but that's all the edge. You praying, you on your knees every night, praying that Mozzie is ready, but then who else?
Denzel Jackson, baby. I don't know, man.
I'm just saying, if they felt that way, as the way that we feel, I feel like they would have done something. This isn't the same old coaching staff. I mean, there's plenty of guys in their staff that are new, that this isn't a mystery to them. They know coming into this job, you better stop the run. That's been a problem here for several years. You guys have to stop the run. And you know that when you take the job. So you have all offseason to add these pieces, and you really don't add anything at the one tech spot. So unless they have something, a plan up their sleeve, then they're just not worried about it as much. So
The irony in this, man, is John, it's beyond just a few years. I think this is more of a front office thing. For whatever reason, I feel like maybe I don't want to say Will McClay. I feel like Will McClay's smarter than this, but he's part of the front office, but the front office just doesn't value that position. And the irony, this is the irony. The one time, the short period of time they actually kind of valued it was when Dan Quinn was here. That was the first time they drafted a big fella over 300 and some 25 pounds, whatever it was, and Quentin Bohanna. Yeah. The first time since 2000, okay? And that was in the sixth round. Then they came right back and got Big John, call him Big Country. John, old boy from Arkansas.
White Gorilla.
Ridgeway.
Then they come back and get Mozzie Smith. So the irony, the dude who doesn't really value stopping the damn run was the one guy over the last few decades that actually tried to throw pieces at the defensive tackle situation. He goes away. What happens? The Cowboys don't spend any high quality draft picks on it. They don't sign a real nose tackle. We're going into this thing hoping and wishing on a prayer of a seventh rounder and Mozzie Smith, who hasn't shown just quite yet to be trustworthy. So I wonder if they're going right back to what they were doing prior to Quinn and said, oh, we don't value this position. Anybody can go in there and play it and we can get by.
This conversation got us to 500 people on the chat. Shout out to y'all, oh, wow, man.
But you know, like, what?
The passion is there.
But you know what? It's just craziest thing of it is that, believe it or not, we still had a better defense than Washington last year. It's crazy. As far as PFF rankings, if you go by that, you know, we still finished out a little bit better than Washington. So yeah, I don't know, man. Yeah.
And but you know why though, Law? Is because, and I think that I do like the blitz schemes that Zimmer puts together. But I think to John's point, I think fundamentally the defense is going to be good. Like, because that's what Eberflus is. He's a good defensive coordinator. I think what Sky is saying is, and he's not wrong, go get everything you need. If you look at, and like I said, I've done a deep dive because me and Sky had a back and forth about the playoff game. So I said, let me really go watch these games. And to be real, like in 24, I got to eat crow. Like, we weren't going into that. We on paper, we were the second seed. But if you looked at how we played football, we had a glaring need. The Bills exposed it. They saw, not 24, excuse me, 23. The Bills said, we can run it on this team. And they ran it all game. And they ran it in 12. I'll never forget. This is when I knew that I was just falling out of love with Dan Quinn. Is because that when they got into 12 personnel, he still had Marquise Bell. Yes, he still had Marquise Bell on the box. And it was just like, those things just didn't make sense to me because he's like, man, I know Mike is going to make a play at some point. And it was like, Josh Allen didn't even throw the ball. Obviously, it was raining, but he didn't even have a big game passing. They just was like, we'll just give you James Cook and these tight ends, and you're not going to stop it because you light.
Maybe John can answer this question here, because he goes to Washington and immediately signs two linebackers, Frankie Louvu and Wagner, Bobby Wagner. So clearly... Because I was wrong on this. I thought Dan Quinn was against it for whatever reason, because he wanted to roll with these lighter guys. And historically, if you go look at Atlanta, at that time, the league was shifting towards spreading. Not shifting. They were in the prime of spreading it out. You got to be faster space, so they got smaller guys, right? And I guess when Wagner hit the open market, they talked, and he thought maybe there could be something here, and he never did it. So I don't know if you know some inside information here, John. Was this a Dan Quinn decision that didn't want the linebackers, or a front office decision? Because he got to Washington and immediately got backers.
Well, for the Frankie Louvu thing, that was, he told Frankie that I'm going to use you like Micah Parsons, you know, where it wasn't going to be just a traditional linebacker spot. He was going to rush the passer a lot, which he did.
Right.
Wagner, I think it's because the Cowboys probably didn't want to spend the money on Wagner. And I'm sure he wanted him if he could have brought him to Dallas. But I think he needed it on a new team like that, where he was trying to reestablish, you know, what he wanted to bring there.
Leadership.
He knew that Bobby Wagner would be that guy on the field. So kind of almost like in a way, last year with Zimmer having, what's his name? Eric Kendricks, you know, like where you have a guy that knows your system and stuff like that. I think that's why he did, but it would not surprise me at all if he was like, hey, I'd really like Bobby Wagner. And they did the Derrick Henry where they're just like, yeah. We're not doing that. We're not spending.
Does
that
he want to play for $8? No.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
No.
Can I say something about Wagner? And this is just because I live in the D.C. area. If is people, I was just about to say, if he may have been the PFF rating and all that, blah blah. Cool. Yeah. But if you expose Bobby Wagner's weaknesses, oh, it's awful. He cannot move. The thing is, he can play very fast downhill, John. Yeah, but like, and so I think
we're missing the point though. It's not about the player Wagner. It's about them actually going to get a player like Wagner.
And I
didn't do that here.
And I'm with you. And maybe that was some of the, but I'm telling you, that Washington defense is Swiss cheese. Now that they're not going to sneak up on anybody, it's going to be very interesting. I'm just saying what I when like when a team just, when a just team ex- when we come to that week though, and maybe this is my DC bias because I'm in a DMV. Y'all don't got to deal with this. I do. So let me get in my bag real quick. I know. I did, but doggone this guy. I don't want to hear about Wagner because he stinks. Okay, we didn't have an offensive coordinator who would expose. All right, I'm sorry, Scott.
We did expose him. We whooped Seattle. You remember that? Whooped him.
Cooper well, Rush.
It was a close game, but our offense.
I was talking about Washington Wagner. My bad.
Well, Cooper Rush. What you mean? We beat him.
We did. Hey, guys, what a great conversation, man. Claps in the chat.
The real topic, for real.
I know. Hey, you know where we got to the read. What's the read?
Oh, we always got to read.
Guys, you know what?
Bet US, y'all.
Go ahead, Scott. Take it over, Scott. Take it over. Take it over.
I don't know. I don't know what today's prop is, so I can't. I'm just saying it's powered by Bet US.
Let's make up one.
let's bring it back to the over on. Is it over on? I don't know these.
Let me get y'all. You know what? Let me get the. We do have a read actually.
Seven and a half wins. If the Cowboys don't get a defensive tackle, under. No, I'm just under.
Hey, you know what? Big Sarge said I'm all over the place. You know what? I am all over the place. It's been a rough day, Sarge, and we still made sure that we get y'all this show. Hey, so hey, I love y'all, man. Button. I'm sorry, man.
Are you not entertained?
Hey, talk about it. Hey, look, my all over the placeness. We had a great debate. We didn't got us a line. We didn't got us a D tackle, a corner. This is lovely. I'm telling you. Hey, you know what? I want to ask y'all this real quick. We say corner and defensive tackle. I bet you it'll be another position that handicaps this team.
No.
What? Running back?
Now, because we put so much into it, it could be – I just have a feeling it'll end up being something crazy like linebacker or – well, no, I can't say that.
We didn't hit the top. I want to talk about one of them, but we can save it.
Go ahead. You want to save this guy?
I mean
– Preview it. Give us 7 minutes of it.
I want to go in on Jack Sanborn, man. I really want to have a conversation about this linebacker. I don't want to brush it, though. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh, because I think you about to have some. Wait a minute. Are you about to have some?
I'm probably about to stand 10 toes with old boy. Yeah.
You like Jack?
I like Jack Sanborn, brother.
I love Jack.
My guy.
We're not fighting about that at all.
My only worry is that, and John can speak to this with the monies, they traded for, Kenneth Murray, and he's $7 million on the cap, so you know how Cowboys are. We pay him, you play him, and I feel like he's going to be a starter, and he's been a starter at middle. I like Jack Sanborn as a middle linebacker. He can play weak side, but who are they going to choose him over Maris Leofau? Probably early, but Demo comes back, then what? I think Jack Sanborn could really, really take over one of them positions, man.
See,
I'd be surprised if Leofau wasn't playing a lot. Put it that
there
way.
You go.
I'd be very surprised. Because their future is Leofau and Overshown. They're going to play Leofau.
Gonna play Leofau. He can get the snaps and everything.
I'm with Sky. I like Jack Sanborn. I thought Sky was bringing some smoke, John. I thought he was saying that he didn't like me.
No.
I mean, even if he didn't like him, though. I mean, what is he at worst? Your fourth or fifth linebacker? You know what I'm saying?
Who? Sanborn?
Yeah, Sanborn. So I mean, I'm saying if you didn't like him, like, what's the worst that he would be? I mean, you've invested a little bit at the position at least by getting Kenneth Murray. You draft Shamar James, like. Overshown coming back at some point, and to me, linebacker is completely flipped from corner. Where 1990, I need three good ones. Today, I need two good ones. You know,
I don't think that somebody put in chat. Let's do the read real quick, guys. Make sure you guys play this. I don't know if this is a play, but this was the graphic that they gave me to read. So we need to, which division is the best? I would probably say high level, the East right now, like top to bottom. Yeah. Like, because even the Giants, their defensive line is going to be really, really good. But the NFC? Would say that's one of the best. Yeah, NFC East. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not just saying that because that's our division.
The North is the NFC North. I mean, three playoff teams last year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they all got. You know,
you think McCarthy gonna do something
with the Vikings.
That's true. That's true. There is.
I don't think it's about McCarthy. It's just that whoever they've put at quarterback, they've seemed to. I don't know. They just seem like they're a very solid organization, even on a bad day. It seems like they're they don't really like fall off. It seems like
that. Don't sleep on the West, man.
Yeah,
the AFC West is interesting, Sky. Too.
NFC West is what I'm looking at. I mean, because you know, if the Cardinals can bounce back, a couple years ago they were a playoff team, but the Cardinals can bounce back. You got, again, San Fran, I feel like will they're not going to be a bad team again. I feel like San Fran is going to be a good squad. The Rams were, what, one play away from the NFC Championship game. Yeah. Seattle, 10-win team, didn't make the playoffs. Like, that's going to be a nice little battle there, too.
Just look at the South in both.
Yeah. We're not even paying attention to that.
To the same. I mean, it's pretty wild, man.
Wow. Yeah.
Just look at the quarterback play in the South there.
Look, I'm gonna give y'all my predictions. I think AFC North, I think the Ravens gonna win that. AFC South, I'm thinking that it's gonna be a new leaf, it's gonna be the Jaguars winning that.
Ooh.
Who we got here? Embracing the enthusiasm. What we got here?
Kyrie Elam.
Okay,
we can go back to this. I was just putting that on the screen.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And then the East, I think the Bills going to run off with the AFC East, the AFC West Chiefs, the NFC East Cowboys, and then the NFC West, I think the LA Rams going to win it.
If you want to make some money, for the NFC East division winner, bet against Philly. You might think I'm crazy because they just won a Super Bowl. Nobody has repeated as division winner for 21 years. Until somebody does it, I'm betting against. That's why last year I was like, hey, dog, I don't care if the Cowboys win a division because it's probably not going to happen. They just got to get into the playoffs. And if I had to put some money on it, if I'm betting, man, Philly ain't winning it because it just never happens. I don't care that they win a Super Bowl.
I am somebody that I don't really bet on sports very much just because I know I've just seen too many horror stories of the people that I'm friends with that have lost a lot of money betting on sports. It's not a good way to make money, but I always follow whatever the lines are, whatever any of it. I always know what the Vegas line is for anything I'm watching. I always pay attention to that stuff, the over-unders and all that. And this Cowboys at 7.5, I look at that and I'm just like,
unbelievable.
This doesn't make sense. Now, I'm not just saying there's two layers to this. One, just because of the Cowboys team on paper, but two is because it's the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Like Cowboys, Duke basketball, Lakers, Yankees, there's so much money that comes in on them already that usually you're like a point or two more just because they're like, no, we'll get plenty of money on this team because they have so many fans that'll bet on it. That's 7.5 on the over-under on the win total. And it's not just at one sports book. It's like at all of them. That to me is one of the most, like, where I'm just like, wait, are they serious? Like, I feel like you should put some money on this. Like, that just seems like a smart bet, you know. Like,
what do they know? You know what I'm saying?
I know.
What do they know? Because if Dak Prescott is healthy for at least 14 games, I ain't even saying 17, like 14 games.
And I'm not even one of these people. I think that they're going to win like 12, 13. I think that they'll win 9 or 10 games.
Or they'll win more than seven.
But yeah, but the 7.5 to me is, I'm just like, dang, like that's just kind of surprised me.
Yeah, that, ones, that is with crazy.
Cooper Rush playing half the year last year.
That's crazy. Yeah,
and we got a lot of supers.
I was gonna say we'll hit the supers at the end, but and you know we did miss a topic today, Law. You're right. We want to talk about our predictions for the season, but we could save it because I didn't want to jump in. Just being royal, I didn't want to mess this conversation up because it was good. Chat, and also if you guys want to listen back to this and like really try to horn in on some points that we made. Please listen on iTunes. My
audio was messed up, so.
Yeah. I want to address that. Sky's audio sounds fine. If you're talking like that his audio doesn't sound good, you're trolling. It sounds great. Like, stop it. Now, we're on Spotify, guys. We're on iTunes. Wherever you get your podcast from. Not again, Spicy Foots, okay? You get Spicy.
Spicy. Foots,
hey, we're on all, anywhere you listen to podcasts, and give us a 4-5-star rating, please, because This is one of those ones. We got 500 people in the chat. The playback is going to be incredible. Next week,
in the car all the time, Foots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, facts, bro. Man, what I want to hear the talk. I'm gonna tell you guys when we talked the playoffs last time is what prompted me to start going back and watching those playoff games and remembering the storylines around it. So next week we'll talk the rosters and really going through the offense and like breaking it down, then the defense and breaking it down. We'll have more OTA breakdowns and the season in our and what we think. So let's get to these supers, guys, and we'll let you all go. Having the SB, I don't know what that means, but we thank you for the $1 super. We appreciate you. Let's get back to Stephen Carroll, who dropped a 19 and said, all jokes aside, the Cowboys, all jokes aside, the NFC East is the best due to we are the only ones with all
in my arena. Bowl.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of read that.
That's what he meant. When he had the SB, he meant only ones that all have a Super Bowl.
Yeah. And I just think that the NFC East is just is good football. Like, I mean, like, I'll give y'all an example. I think the Giants could beat the Commanders the first game of the season. I think the Cowboys could beat Philly. There's a world where Dak and them come out blazing. Philly is on a Super Bowl high. They could win that game. I think some of these games early on, you know, if the Chiefs play, I don't know, the Raiders, I don't think that nobody in their right mind thinks that the Raiders are going to beat the Chiefs. But trust and believe, I don't know what the opening line will be when the Cowboys play Philly, but I would take Dallas, whatever the line is.
I think like, it's like 7 right now.
I would, oh, I'm taking that. I'll play that right now, John. You get what I'm saying? Like, that game is going to be closer than that. It's not going to be a blow. If Dak Prescott's playing, that's not going to be a blowout. Like, so that's what I'm, so you're spot on. Lando dropped a super, a token of my respect for the hustle. Thank you, Lando. And this is the one I want to end on.
Yeah.
And it started with Sky challenging John Machota.
Take the
money out. Here's Johnny.
Yeah.
Here's Johnny.
The best cast on television.
Too when I brought up that damn the defense for the Washington and Lions game. I got the
Here's Johnny.
Yeah, Johnny. But it's crazy though.
I've had to defend it when I watch Teddy Bridgewater come off the sideline from coaching high school, and I literally just get right in the game and takes him down for a touchdown drive after Goff got knocked out of the game for a series. And I was just like, Bridgewater's really coming in here. He's going to cook this defense that fast. So I just, I had to stop on the
fair enough.
Too much praise for the, I like Dan Quinn. Yeah. I think he's a really good, really good coach. And he's obviously turned that thing around, but, I just keep going back to, there was a lot of people after that Green Bay loss that there's they talked about how, too. Oh, they should have given the head coaching job to Dan Quinn. And I'm just like, nah, I don't know if that would have been the answer.
I think John
couldn't possibly do that after that game.
I think I think Dan Quinn had the head coaching job up until week 6 or week 7 last year.
Was that the Bills game? No, Bills game was later.
That's
to be honest, bro, he might have had it up until that Washington or that Green Bay game.
I'm talking about that year. You thinking all the way up until that Green Bay game?
If we beat Green Bay,
the offense didn't wake up until after week 6, after we lost to the and I'm not talking about last year, I'm talking about the year before last year with Dan Quinn
23.
Yeah, 23 until we got our ass whooped by the 49ers, and then we opened up the offense. You remember that's when CeeDee Lamb started cooking and everything and broke Michael Irvin's record and all of this stuff. Yeah,
I'll give y'all a stat that we'll leave
and
on.
I think that was shoddy, by the way, but we'll talk more.
In the Green Bay game, Green Bay scored on 6 or 7 drives. Touchdown. Yeah. Not
they had an answer for everything. Man.
Not me and Sky talked after that and was just like, Dan didn't coach. And that's what I think that he knew he was out. And I can't say that. I don't wanna put that on smut on Dan's name.
He was
okay,
out,
Sky
bro.
Saying it, then I can say it. He knew he was out and he was very vanilla and they coached and played like a team that and that is where Dak does get a pass. Yes, he threw the interception, but you weren't stopping. You would have had to beat them 60-48.
Let's not break the chat right now. Don't those words.
Yeah, that's not a break. Chat.
We'll break the chat. Dak gets a pass. Oh,
okay,
you
stop. But the only reason why I can say it, Sky, is because I feel like I give Dak a lot of grief. So
they're all a part of that day, though.
Everybody,
all of them had a hand in that shit. Yeah,
but here's why I say Dak gets a pass, bro. The tight end leak play that they threw, John, with freak, and you know why it was so irritating. Because you haven't seen any of these guys and those players do none of that. They had I was waiting for that to be in Philly in Brazil last year. I never see
people as wide open as they were in that day.
John, I went back. That game was on Sunday, just random. I'm cleaning the house. I'm like, dang, Green Bay really got to the red zone and start out over and over again against Philly and Brazil. Against Dallas, those were walk-in touchdowns.
Yeah.
Walk-in. So I'm just like, you know, Musgrave, like Toxic Tom, Toxic Takes. He was wide open. Yeah. You like, yo, this is crazy.
Yeah.
So, but guys, he was, man, that was crazy. But guys, thank you for
it. You're going to drive me crazy. You bring up this damn game again.
No like, more Green Bay. Oh, we can't leave. We can't leave. We got another one.
Take the money out. All of it.
Sending big shout out to the Fantastic Four. And remember, Law, can you take us out on this? Take us out on this one.
Out to Fantastic Four. And remember, we are back up. Law Voice. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And they
sending
the supers,
we're
man.
Back up, man. Appreciate you, man. Thank everybody. This is the Cowboys Collective Sounds of the Four Horsemen of the Cowboys, or the Four Goats. You know, that's better. You know, Four Goats of the Cowboys. Let's get it.
We will see you guys next week. Peace. OTAs. Watch the rundown. And hopefully we'll have a defense attack on the corner for John. We love you all. Peace, y'all.
Peace.
Yeah. All right.